Well, I consider it a pleasure to greet my brother here that would speak the word to us. I'm always reminded, it's probably been 18, 19 years ago, I remember visiting the Cases at their house and getting to visit them in Hamilton. If I got that right, it was in Hamilton. We got to visit with them. We had a great time. And I know that my brother is going to be prepared tonight. He was making even more notes back there, so he's even more prepared. So I would ask that you give him your prayers and that he might be used by the Lord this night. Brother Jerry.
Good evening, everyone. I too want to greet each of you in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. It's been a joyful day for me. Starting out first thing this morning, our brother Jose Galvan preached on Phone Church across this nation and reminded us of so many worshipful things about God, about how strong He is and how He fights for us, how He cares for us, how faithful He's been to us. He reminded us to take courage and to be strong. And then I got to come here, and my brother Stephen spent some time really trying to clarify for us and call us to the fear of the Lord. And I would echo, I think that's where I'll start. I'm going to start by saying it a little different way, but I like to kind of frame the attitude with which I'm going to approach this sermon, the things to keep in the back of our mind as we speak about the rest of the things. In Isaiah 45, I just want to echo in your ears some things that were said to Israel. Verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. And that's something that I marvel at the Lord's watch care. The Lord's watch care in the world's absent-mindedness, in their distraction, seeing all other things but not seeing the light, as it's shown to us in John 1:1. Let me read John 1, St. John. Verse 1 through 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. No, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And I think sometimes in all that, we tend to get kind of left with the last few words. We think, oh, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. And we feel the frustration of that. But there's a future set before all of us. And when I say all, that goes clear out the door and around the world. We find in Philippians, the second chapter, that one day every knee shall bow. One day every tongue will confess that He is the Lord. In my mind, I think of that as a great equalizer. But it touches my heart when I learn not to divide God's creation. And to, as it says in the end of the 13th chapter of 2 Nephi, try to have this love of God and of all men. Be reminded constantly that one day every knee will bow, every tongue confess, not just in this room, but as you pass them on the highway tomorrow, as you see them at work, as you deal with the people at school, as you hear people on the radio and on the television, there's not one person that's an exception. Not one. That's the future. That's where we're headed. One day, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Let that touch you, knowing that for some that will be to great joy, and for some to great sorrow. Feel that. I look at that sometimes and it seems so big, but we fool ourselves when we think ever that we are equal to the task or that we are up to it. It's the Lord God, as Jose reminded us this morning, that is the one faithful. The one that's there, that by the power of the Holy Spirit bears things into every man's heart, or no man could ever know, save by the Holy Spirit. Let me turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. Starting with the first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation meaning hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecuted you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I'm going to jump back to verse 20. I believe that in the discussion of that verse, that really the meaning of that is in kindness, teaching your enemy, or I said the word already, by behaving in a kind way towards our enemy, by providing for their needs, they're stung by their misdeeds. They see that you are different than they are. Saw one time an example where a historical thing happened back during World War II. The Germans had led a big troop in and they had killed the whole village, you know. A lot of the men were gone, but they killed the women and the children. And it was a horrible thing, you know. But as they pursued this tribe into the desert, they came into a box canyon chasing them. There was about five men on horses that ran from the German army, ran into this box canyon, so the German army had them. And they went in to the canyon, and the desert literally stood up. There was, the whole tribe was hid in the sand. And they stood up, and the German army was trapped. And there was a big battle. And there was a German scout who was up on the hill and saw this taking place. And so he ran down, or he had his driver drive him down to try to stop the German army before they rode into this trap. But it didn't happen. He wasn't quick enough. And the battle ensued. And basically the German troop was wiped out. And he rode in with his Jeep and his driver right into the middle of these people that had just wiped out his comrades. And the driver jumped up with his gun to shoot, and they shot him. So he was alone, the scout. And one of the tribesmen raised his gun to shoot him. And their spiritual leader, they followed, reached out and he grabbed the gun down out of the way. And so the charge went off and he missed. He didn't hit his target. And the man turned to him and he said, but they killed our wives and our children. And he said, yes, but they are not our teacher. The reason we behave well, the reason we feed our enemy is because there's that possibility we may be theirs. We may show them a better way. We are here to be God's children, not to learn from the rest of the world. We are here to perform this reasonable sacrifice, not to be conformed to this world, as it says in the second verse, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the very definition of repentance. It's this incredible work of the Holy Spirit that takes place within us. It's not just about saying we're sorry. It's about that. But it's about literally turning ourselves around, becoming His child. That is as it is intended when we're baptized, that we are born again. That's what repentance affords us. I have some other things. Occasionally we lament. It's only 24 hours in a day, and I'm sure we don't lament more than 23. But I know that it's easy to get discouraged. And in this world, we are surrounded by a lot of non-belief. And I know many of you know there's belief too. But we get so surrounded by it and we lament. I know that I've heard people that are dedicated to spreading God's word, and they travel and they go through a lot of time away from their families, and they work hard, and they try to spread God's word, and they lament that possibly we might run out of money. How will we go if we run out of money? I'm only given one example there. There's many things we worry about for the future. But as you worry about these things, I just have some other things I want to read and I want you to consider. And it has to do with the energy that you put into your walk in this life. Let me turn to 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel, I want to turn to the 24th chapter. Let me start with the 18th verse. And Gad came that day to David, and this is King David. David that was, as a young lad, he was David of David and Goliath. Someone that the Lord had helped, and the Lord had actually displayed himself in his behalf many times. And Gad came down that day to David and said to him, "Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite." And David, according to the sayings of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, "Wherefore is my lord, the king, come to his servant?" And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, "Let my lord, the king, take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the wood, of oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king." And Araunah said unto the king, "The Lord thy God accept thee." And the king said unto Araunah, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. And I think of this reasonable sacrifice, and I want us to keep, as we walk through and try to make this reasonable sacrifice of our life to the Lord, keep it in our mind that it's not a sacrifice if it has no cost to us. If others can provide it for us to do it, It has no cost to we ourselves. Have a mind that you're going to do the Lord's will at whatever cost, knowing that He will always fill the gap. That He will always be the Lord God and will provide the end result. But have in your own mind that you're willing to spend the cost. I want to turn over to John, the 12th chapter. First verse, John 12. Then Jesus, six days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This He said, not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of My burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but Me ye have not always. Me you have not always. There's another story where one washed His feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. And He was reprimanded, said to get away from her. She was not a good person. But again, He asked them, which one of you did this for Me? Which one of you washed My feet with her tears and dried them with your hair? Jose read us one this morning in phone church. It was it's in 1 Nephi. And the 15th chapter. Nope. 1 Nephi, first chapter. Sorry. Made you look. I'm going to start reading with verse 85, and I'm going to read through 87. This is when Lehi had been warned, and so he took his family and left Jerusalem, that they be spared, they be saved. And they returned to Jerusalem to get the records of the people as under the commandment of God. So I'll start reading verse 85. And it came to pass that they went down to the land of our inheritance, and they did gather together our gold and our silver and our precious things. Because when they had left Jerusalem, they'd left everything. So they went back and they got all their treasures. And after, this is verse 86, and after that we had gathered these things together, we went up again unto the house of Laban. And it came to pass that we went in unto Laban and desired him that he would give unto us the records which were graven upon the plates of brass, for which we would give unto you our gold and our silver and all our precious things. I think also that when we think about the things that we have, that we can give to do God's will, it's by way of praise. It's recognizing that He is the Lord God, and there is none other. There is none other. Nothing else has greater worth. All was made by him. And not anything that was made without him. He made everything. It all belongs to him. So we recognize that. And we must be willing to give the price, the cost. Because all we have is what we can give. The cost that he has already paid for us, none of us can pay. We never will get to fully pay him back. Never. So do all you can do. I want to turn, I think, to Alma 15, because I just want you to think about some things. As we walk into this future, and we know the prophecies, I think also that we're not unlike the Lord's original 12, and that though he told them daily, they still struggled to understand. One of the things that was so hard for them to understand is truly that he was going to be crucified. That's something they just could not get clear. And yet he told them. And he told them clearly, and he told them over and over. Alma 15. I'm going to start reading with verse 57. Now seeing that I know these things, why should I desire more than to perform the work to which I have been called? Why should I desire that I was an angel that could speak unto all the ends of the earth? For behold, the Lord doth grant unto all nations of their own nation and tongue to teach his word, yea, in wisdom, all that he seeth fit that they should have. Therefore, we see that the Lord doth counsel in wisdom according to that which is just and true. I know that which the Lord hath commanded me, and I glory in it. I do not glory in myself, but I glory in that which the Lord hath commanded me. Yea, and this is my glory, that perhaps I may be an instrument in the hands of God to bring some soul to repentance. And this is my joy. I think Stephen read this morning. I'm not sure. But I think that the Lord has a plan, and none of us knows all of it. And he will take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. Every nation will have sufficient because of him. Because of him. And we can have confidence in him. I think it's part of that definition, like Stephen was trying to give us this morning. That's understanding that God is the only God, and he's above all. He is able. He has a plan. And what we are given is just the tiniest part. Take joy in it. Take joy in the part that he has given us. And let me turn over to 3 Nephi. I have something else for you to consider. You know, sometimes I think about what it is that's our job, to serve God. And I'm trying to remember. I think it's... I've been kind of in this capacity as one of his ministry about 42 years. And the truth is, I didn't start serving him then. And there are many things that go on. I could go through many things just in this last week that are secret, that many of you don't know about. Examples within this room where people have tended to the needs of others, have helped them where they just didn't have the means to help themselves. And they reached out. And they helped them as they could. That's all we can do. But that's service to God. That's service to God. Never despair if you don't happen to be somebody that stands up behind this desk. Be his children. Be his servants. Serve God. But sometimes I think about who are our comrades. You know, I think, who do we work with? And, of course, I can think of, you know, Gordon, and I can think of Andy and Jay, and I can kind of think of the things that are before my eyes that, you know, they're my comrades. We work together to do the Lord's work. Let's read more. Let's read more. Third Nephi, 13th chapter. I'm going to start with verse 12. And it came to pass, when Jesus had said these words, he spake unto his disciples one by one, saying unto them, what is it that ye desire of me after that I am gone to the Father? And they all spake, save it were three, saying, we desire that after we have lived unto the age of man, that our ministry wherein ye have called us may have an end, that we may speedily come unto thee in thy kingdom. And he say unto them, blessed are ye because ye desire this thing of me. Therefore, after that ye are 72 years old, ye shall come unto me in my kingdom, and with me ye shall find rest. And when he had spoken unto them, he turned himself unto the three and said unto them, what will ye that I should do unto you when I am gone unto my Father? And they sorrowed in their hearts, for they durst not speak unto him the thing which they desired. And he saith unto them, behold, I know your thoughts, and ye have desired the thing which John, my beloved, which was with me in my ministry, before that I was lifted up by the Jews, desired of me. Therefore, more blessed are ye, for ye shall never taste of death, but ye shall live to behold all the doings of the Father unto the children of men, even until all things shall be fulfilled according to the will of the Father, when I shall come in my glory with the power of heaven. And ye shall never endure the pains of death, but when I shall come in my glory, you shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality. Then shall ye be blessed in the kingdom of my Father. And again, ye shall not have pain while ye shall dwell in the flesh, neither sorrow, save it be for the sins of the world. And all this will I do because of the things which ye have desired of me. For ye have desired that ye might bring the souls of men unto me, while the world shall stand. And for this cause ye shall have fullness of joy, and ye shall sit down in the kingdom of my Father. Yea, your joy shall be full, even as the Father hath given me fullness of joy. And ye shall be even as I am, and I am even as the Father and I are one. And the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me, and the Father giveth the Holy Ghost unto the children of men because of me. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he touched every one of them with his finger, save it were the three which were to tarry. And then he departed. Behold, the heavens were opened, and they were caught up into heaven, and saw the and heard unspeakable things. And it was forbidden them that they should utter, neither was it given unto them power that they should utter the things which they saw and heard. And whether they were in the body or out of the body, they shall not tell. They could not tell, for it did seem unto them like a transfiguration of them, that they were changed from this body of flesh into an immortal state, that they could behold the things of God. But it came to pass that they did again minister upon the face of the earth. Nevertheless, they did not minister of the things which they had heard and seen, because of the commandment which was given them in heaven. And now, whether they were mortal or immortal from the day of their transfiguration, I know not. But this much I know, according to the record which hath been given, they did go forth upon the face of the land, and did minister unto all the people, uniting as many to the church as would believe in their preaching, baptizing them. And as many as were baptized did receive the Holy Ghost, and they were cast into prison by them who did not belong to the church. And the prisons could not hold them, for they were rent in twain, and they were cast down into the earth. But they did smite the earth with the word of God, insomuch that by his power they were delivered out of the depths of the earth, and therefore they could not dig pits sufficient to hold them. And thrice they were cast into a furnace and received no harm. And twice were they cast into a den of wild beasts. And behold, they did play with the beast as a child with a suckling lamb, and received no harm. And it came to pass that thus they did go forth among all the people of Nephi, and did preach the gospel of Christ unto all people upon the face of the land. And they were converted unto the Lord, and were united unto the church of Christ. And thus the people of that generation were blessed according to the word of Jesus. And now I'm Mormon, make an end of speaking concerning these things for a time. Behold, I was about to write the names of those who were never to taste of death, but the Lord forbade. Therefore, I write them not, for they are hid from the world. But behold, I have seen them, and they have ministered unto me. And behold, they will be among the Gentiles, and the Gentiles knoweth them not. They will also be among the Jews, and the Jews shall know them not. And it shall come to pass that when the Lord seeth fit in his wisdom, that they shall minister unto all the scattered tribes of Israel, and unto all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, and shall bring out of them unto Jesus many souls, and their desire may be full, that desire may be fulfilled, and also because of the convincing power of God which is in them, and they are as the angels of God. And if they shall pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus, they can shew themselves unto whatsoever man it seemeth them good. Therefore great and marvelous works shall be wrought by them before the great and coming day, when all people shall surely stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Yea, even among the Gentiles shall there be a great and marvelous work wrought by them before that judgment day. When I think of these things, I consider them, and I wonder, who is my comrade? Just how busy is the Lord out there? With who? I know these seeds are being planted. I know there are hearts full of desire. And above all, there is God. This is his work. It is his plan. We don't know it all. Let us be pleased in his service. Whether it is to stand up behind this desk, whether it is to sit in the front of a truck and serve sacrament in the tiniest little service, whether it is to help somebody with their car, whether it is to give a hug, show your love to one another, this is the service of God. We work together, and we work for the same master. Pray for me. I consider the power of these thoughts, of God's word, the fact that there are those that we don't even know that are abroad in this world, and they've been there for years, teaching, planting seeds, that people would come to God. May he open our eyes that we might see what we can do. May he open our ears that we know those that are in need. God bless us. I think we should enter into this week with excitement, with an eye looking forward, with an eye, with a mind that's asking, God, what can I do? What is my reasonable service? God bless you.